The following program has been brought to you by Barterhouse Wines.
When you open the bottle and you drink the wine, it speaks for itself. Is it, you know, a wine that's made for food? Yes. Those types of wines are tend to be more rustic or have a little bit more body. Are there wines that are just pure out hedonistic pleasure? Sure, there's wines like that that maybe from California that are more cocktail wines, or wines that are just big jammy fruit bombs. And those, I think, appeal to a certain group of people as well. I think the wines that Barterhouse specializes in is more of these food-friendly, you know, rustic style, biodynamic, organic wines that tend to be a bit more earthy, come from someplace. So you can almost taste the terroir. You can almost feel this guy, this Sancerre, was grown in this slaty, rocky soil. And so to me, that's the exciting part, that the wine feels like it comes from someplace.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Barterhouse Wines. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today we'll be talking food stamps usage and mouthy mishaps. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, our number is 718-497-2128. Give us a buzz. Call in. How many folks thought that the government shutdown, aka budget talks, were absolutely crazy? I'm still like confused about the status. Was that a temporary thing to Thursday? I'm not sure. But anyway, I definitely thought it was crazy. And after reading the Christian Science Monitor's article on last Tuesday titled "Food Stamp Usage Continues on an Explosive Climb," I'm like, you gonna shut the government down? And an article like this came out. The article says, quote, the latest data released by the Department of Agriculture shows that in January of 2011, an additional over 100,000 new recipients were added to the food stamp program, an increase of a little over 12% on a year-over-year basis, while household participation increased 14.52%, quote. Crazy. The thought of shutting down the government. I'm not sure if food stamps would have been affected or people who were receiving benefits, but this just goes to show how much we need the government to continue functioning. The face of food stamps is so diverse. You have tons of different people who are receiving food stamps. And we've chatted about it a few times here on Hot Grease. And I thought, since I saw this article, that I would play a segment from show number 11 with Zachary Cohen, and where we talk about the diverse face of food stamps. Welcome to Hot Grease, Zach.
Thank you, Nicole. Pleasure to be here.
So first up, we have the face of food stamp users. There's an article in the City Room blog in the New York Times entitled "In School, In Debt, and Asking for Help." There was a New York NYU grad student with about $100,000 in student loans, and he's actually talking about his journey or the day he went to get food stamps in Williamsburg. What are your thoughts?
That was definitely a great article. The City Room has become a great little local blog, obviously staffed by New York Times writers who are so excellent at getting that color and drama into even a blog post. As a blogger, it's remarkable to see what a trained journalist at the Times can do. The piece is interesting, obviously, because there's a great sense of drama. This young guy who's a journalism student and has put himself into debt. Obviously, journalism is a world that is undergoing a massive overhaul, and the idea of going to journalism school as for professionalism. And
I know, interesting, right?
Yeah, but you know, we need journalists, and we need that kind of work. At the same time, we got to figure out how to pay for it. The idea of using local ads to pay for investigative journalism just doesn't fly anymore.
So, do you think there are tons of students, graduate students, or people like the guy Ryan in the article that are getting food stamps and we just don't know about? Or,
you know, I think what Ryan seemed to say in the article is that, you know, there are people in his community. I think he was a Williamsburg resident who were starting to get food stamps and not that kind of stigma about signing up for food stamps and going down to the city center and signing up for it and standing in lines for 5 hours. You know, the idea of standing there, you know, 22 or 23 or 25 year old guy or girl sitting there with families in the cold, you know, who are probably don't have the $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 in the bank to pay their groceries this week or next week or for the next month. You know, he felt a real sense of guilt. And at the same time, he needs this help right now. And, there was a lot of drama in that article. I mean, for a blog post, you know, the Times is really it's a tremendous thing. But again, that stigma, I can't imagine what it would feel like to just be painted into such a corner that you need to. He talked about, you know, making big pots of chili and black bean soup to feed himself. And
I missed that part. He said something about chili and stuff.
Yeah, he said he made black bean soup and chili.
Oh, yeah, he did say that.
And just to save money. And he said he was going off meat. I mean, obviously, that really stuck out at me, the idea of I'm giving up meat as a way to cut down on the cost. And I mean, that struck at me because, you know, meat is a luxury. We've come to think of it as an entitlement, something we should have every day. And I remember being in a grocery store in the Hudson Valley recently, there was a in the meat department, there was a section that said, a big sign, like a retro sign with kind of graphics from the 50s or 60s saying, you know, eat meat 3 times a day. And I'm sitting there like, oh, wow. My God. Yeah, it's just like... You know, I'm not going to get into the specifics of...
Maybe a bit much for some of the people. Just tuning in to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We're talking the food stamp usage, and how it is increasing. And an article came out in Christian Science Monitor saying that the increase per household increased a little over 14%. And you're listening to earlier episode of Hot Grease where our guest was Zachary Cohen. So if you have any comments about if you're a new face or a diverse face of food stamps, send us a message. Send me a message. You can go straight to the archive when the archive comes up and you can comment there, or you can go to facebook.com/foodculturist. Shoot me an email. I'm curious to know, what's your experience in terms of using food stamps? Did you get laid off? Are you a parent? Are you a family and you need to make ends meet? Let me know. We are going to take a short break and come back with more Hot Grease.
She was way too far from me, but of course I did approach. I thought I'd break the ice a bit with maybe 2 or 3 notes. She was way too fly for me, so I tried to grow wings. Small laughs and big compliments will maybe stretch out some things. She was a Morris. I tried to give her a more than gorgeous, more than I'd ever seen. She was a walrus. I tried to give her a more, but she was way too much, more than I'd ever seen. She was way too far for me, but of course I did approach.
Wow, I love that song. If you like that song, that was Jesse Boykins, hot new artist. I think he's based in New York. Love the song, Jesse. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Y'all, here is a funny story. I have titled the story Mouthy Mishaps. And it's about this crazy thing that happened to me over a week ago. So I often joke, and I actually put it on my Yelp.com profile, that I can eat an entire baguette at one meal. It's not true. I can eat a half one, though, seriously. So most days on a Monday, if I'm here at Roberta's, I will pick up one of their mini baguettes, or either I'll pick it up at Green Grape Provisions. So I go, I pick up a mini baguette. I'm all excited about it. And I'm like, I'm not going to have like a huge dinner. I'm going to have a salad and half a baguette. And usually I cut the baguette in half. I put some of my favorite olive oil on it and a little balsamic vinaigrette. So I do that. I take it out and I'm starving. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. I couldn't even wait on my salad. And I bite down in the baguette and I'm like, damn, I think I burned the roof of my mouth. So I go on, I eat my dinner, and the next day, you know, I'm sure people, you've had this feeling like, oh, I've burned the roof of my mouth, like from eating hot pizza or cheese or something. But this feeling like lasted for like 3 or 4 days. So I was like really, really curious, like what the hell is going on? And people were saying, I went online, huh? You know, like the doctor, people go online now and diagnose themselves. And I'm like, okay, it's a burn. I need to just wash my mouth out with warm, salty water. It's just very tender. And then I start looking at it, and the back of the roof of my mouth is like huge. It's swollen. And then I'm like, okay, I'll keep doing this for a few days. And the following day, the front of my mouth in between the gums is like swollen really badly. So I'm getting nervous at this point because I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to eat? That's all I'm concerned about, is how I'm going to eat, because I really couldn't eat any food. And everything I was cooking or ordering when I was going out to dinner was like really, really soft and cold. So 5 days went by and I'm still having this craziness with my mouth. And all of a sudden, this is gross and graphic. The front part, it like there's a big like not even a bump, but like something is going to ooze out of it. So I go to the dentist, and to make a long story short, they take a scalpel, whatever they do, and they drain this. Disgusting. But anyway, the sad thing about it is I was okay. I was feeling better. And it was the same day of Tasting Brooklyn. And I was like, I probably shouldn't eat anything. What a mouthy mishap. But I did. I ate something, but I thought it was, I think it's totally crazy for a greedy person. I call myself greedy because all I do is talk about food, to burn the roof of their mouth. And then the same day that, you know, I go to the dentist and they fix this issue, I go to Tasting Brooklyn and I spend the next 2 or 3 hours at Tasting Brooklyn eating food. It was crazy. I had this great cold duck okra gumbo at Tasting Brooklyn. I got it when I first got there, and then I waited for a whole hour for it to cool down, but it was the best damn flavor. It just let me know that you don't need hot gumbo. You can have it cold. So yeah, shout out to my dentist for hooking me up. I'm sure you guys have a whole bunch of mishaps, mouthy mishaps. I thought that was absolutely sad and hilarious that happened to me. But I'm glad I got it fixed, because Tasting Brooklyn was coming up. And then the following day, it's my birthday. And I wanted to make sure I could definitely drink a lot and eat birthday cake. And yeah, Jack, my producer, executive producer, and engineer Jack, makes a funny ass joke on my Facebook page. It wasn't a red velvet cake, Jack. Shout out to Piece of Cake, my great friend Stacy. She's been on the show before. She actually sent me a white chocolate cake from Piece of Cake, which is a bakery that's in Atlanta. So got it shipped all the way from the South, and it wasn't a red velvet cake. And I hear it's funny. I've never had Piece of Cake's red velvet cake. I heard it was okay. So I didn't have time to fool with that on my birthday. I wanted something reliable. So yeah, I was able to drink, eat cake on my birthday. Mouth was still tender, but hey, you know, It's all good. Do you have any mildly mishaps? Let us know here on Hot Grease. Speaking of desserts, I have to shout out my friend Allison Cave of First Prize Pies. I went to an event of hers. I don't know if you want to call it an event on Saturday. She was on the show probably around this time last year. This is right when she launched her business, First Prize Pies. But she did a huge photo shoot, I think on last Friday or Saturday. It was so many pies there. But at the end of the photo shoot, she just basically had a party so folks could eat the pies. Nick Ferrari, I think it's the photographer that did all of her photos for First Prize Pies. So I want to shout her out. If you want to go back and listen to her episode, check it out. Put Allison Cave in the box and check it out. More so check her pies out. We were just talking about Fatty Q's. I don't know if they're open or not. Fatty Q's is in Williamsburg section of Brooklyn. But they sell her pies and Green Crepe Provisions, which is a store, a larder store, small grocery in Brooklyn. They have her individual, the mini pies in there. So check it out. We are going to take a short break. If you're listening live, call in. I'm going to be talking about BK food spots, particularly in Bed-Stuy, the next segment. Keep listening to Hot Grease. Each time we meet, walk on by.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune into The Speakeasy every Wednesday at 3 p.m., where host Damon Bolte will discuss cocktails, spirits, wine, beer, tea, coffee, and all things in the liquid universe, with guests ranging from bartenders and brewers, alchemists and ambassadors, roasters and regulars, and every expert and enthusiast in between. Learn from some of the world's leading experts in mixology, bar history, distillation, and brewing about how we enjoy imbibing today. Again, that's every Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I am your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. Also, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Man, it is often popping it at Roberta's. I just asked Jack when I got here. I'm like, damn, does anybody work in Bushwick? It's crowded. I'm looking out in the garden. The patio garden area here at Roberta's is packed. The inside is packed. The weather is gorgeous here in New York City today. We finally got some real spring weather. I think the high is like 75. So yeah, Roberta's off and popping. So every day, speaking of Roberta's and food and hot spots, every day I get some kind of message on Facebook or a text about where to eat in BK. And particularly if I tell someone, you know, I do a show at Heritage Radio Network, they get really excited about Roberta's and they're like, oh, I want to come there and eat. And I'm like, sure, go. I'm not going to go with you because I've been eating this food for over a year and a half once a week. So I'll pass, even though it's great food. But I like the task of recommending cool spots in Brooklyn. And more I'm finding that my habits around going to places to eat are becoming super hyper local. Man, I'm staying in my hood. It's very hard for me to leave Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. I live in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood in Brooklyn, which some people would call Central Brooklyn. It's a neighborhood, most people, I hate to say it, people know it from Biggie Smalls. They know it from Jay-Z. Also, you know, Shirley Chisholm. Bed-Stuy has a huge history. And in the past few years, there have been a lot of cool restaurants and bars that have opened up in Bed-Stuy. So when folks want to go out to dinner and they call me and they want drinks, I'm like, hey, let's just keep it hyper-local. And I tell them to come to Bed-Stuy. So I thought I would, you know, shout out my go-to spots in Bed-Stuy today. So folks who, if you're visiting New York City and you want to do something different in Brooklyn, you can come to Bedford-Stuyvesant. Or if you're one of my friends that live in Manhattan or Queens and you want to know about Bed-Stuy, the next few minutes, I am going to give you the lowdown on the new and the not so new and upcoming food spots in Bed-Stuy. I'm going to start with, Sud Vino Casina. It's an Italian spot. I went there yesterday for the first time, and I saw someone on Facebook ask me, well, actually on Twitter, ask me, how was it? I haven't responded yet, so I guess I'll tell you now and send you the link. The shit was really, really, really good. The food was excellent. They don't have wine. They need Barter House wines there. You have to bring your own bottle from now, but I'm looking right now at a bottle of rosé that we have here in the studio from Barter House. So next time I go to Sud Vino Casina, I will take my rosé. But the food was great. I had the penne pesto, and my husband had the lasagna, and I had an endive salad with gorgonzola and walnuts. Excellent food, straight from Italy. It tastes like we were like in Italy. It's right at like Bedford and Lexington, and that's the G stop, Bedford Nostrum. It's on a strip. It's actually diagonal from Scratch Bread. But the food is excellent. I would go there again. They've been open maybe a month, if that. But yeah, Sud Vino Casina. Speaking of Italian in Bed-Stuy, my other favorite place is like Cheers. When I go in there, Rob is always there. My nickname for him is Rob Lowe. He actually hates that I call him Rob Lowe. But yeah, I usually go to Saragina for lunch. I used to be a huge dinner customer at Saragina, but it's absolutely always packed for lunch and the wait is long. So I go, the wait is always really long at dinner. So I usually go for lunch. They don't have breakfast or brunch during the week, but they have a fabulous brunch on the weekend. I would say if you go there for lunch, I know this sounds crazy, but don't get the pizza. They have a very abbreviated menu at lunch, and it has sandwiches like paninis, and they have their regular pizzas. I usually never get a pizza, but I get a sandwich, and it comes with a side salad. Hands down, I tell people all the time, they make the best cappuccino in Central Brooklyn. The best jolt. I don't even know what kind of coffee they have. It's not Stumptown. It's not Illy. I don't know what it is, but it's really, really, really good. So if you're in Bed-Stuy and you want a pizza spot, you want to go to a pizza spot, go to Saragina. I definitely would say that Saragina is a destination spot. It's in the same categories as Roberta's or Modo or Polly G's. The pizza is really, really good. All the staff mainly speaks Italian, so the food is good. It's fresh. They use herbs from local folks in there. So Saragina, my other spot in Bed-Stuy to check out. Shout out my next spot. Shout out to Craig and Ben. I need to have them on the show ASAP from Peaches and Peaches Hot House. They are the owners. Peaches has been around quite some time, and Peaches Hot House, 2 blocks from my house on Tompkins. It's a Nashville style fried chicken, and it's great. Nashville. Oh, here are my friends stopping in the studio as I'm talking about Bed-Stuy. Come in, Liz Barclay. How are you?
I heard you said something about Peaches Hot House.
Yes, Peaches Hot House. We're talking about food spots in Bed-Stuy.
Oh, nice.
Have you been to Peaches Hot House?
No, I have not, but I've heard it's good. Have you been? I know you've been.
Of course. are. So I was telling people, I'm glad you came by, Liz.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah, and I forget your boyfriend's name, Mike. Ev. Hey, Ev. How are you?
Oh, it's 76 degrees outside.
It's hot. It feels like Georgia.
Yep. It's minus the pollen.
So, Liz, I'm going over spots in Bed-Stuy. People that are listening, they're always asking me for spots. I think me and you had a conversation about places to eat in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we talked about everything from brunch to the whole fried chicken southern food things taking off.
Peach's Hot House. So I mentioned Peach's Hot House, Saragina Sud, Vino Casina, and coffee spot Miss Dahlia's Coffee, which is on Nostrand and Halsey. It's just a place where everyone knows your name. It's small. Can't a lot of people fit in there, but it's like right a block from the Nostrand Avenue train station. If you want to go in there and like really feel the vibe of the neighborhood, I would say Miss Dahlia's is a go-to spot. Tin City. Boy, this is my place to purchase all of my magazines. There's magazines there. And also the Bed-Stuy Farm Share, aka CSA pickup, is at Tin City, so I'm there often. And Tin City is a few blocks from Saragina and Peaches, the original Peaches. I would say Tin City just started to offer sandwiches and soups and stuff there since the weather has changed. So check out Tin City. It's a really, really cool spot. All the best magazines. I can get my Country Living magazine in there. I can get Vogue. I can get all of it right in Tin City. I want to shout out two new spots in Bed-Stuy that are opening or have opened soon, and their spirits or alcohol spots. Shout out to Voodoo Bar. It's opening on Nostrand, and I can't remember the cross street, but the owner is the Anthony Mackey. And that's the wrong name. Actually, No Bar is Anthony Mackey's spot. Everyone has confused these two spots. I really feel like he might have been the original partner in Voodoo Bar. But there are two new bars that are opening in Bed-Stuy. Voodoo Bar and No Bar. Both kind of have that whole New Orleans thing, and so maybe that's why people are getting confused. But Anthony Mackey, you guys know Anthony Mackey from the Hurt Locker. You know Anthony Mackey from the Hurt Locker.
I never saw the Hurt Locker, but I know who he is.
Yeah, he's from New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
So he's opening a bar in Bed-Stuy, and I've seen him around a few times at Voodoo Bar, which that is why people were thinking originally that was his bar, but No Bar is his bar. But both of those bars are opening up this month. Voodoo Bar, which is right next to Miss Dahlia's, is opening up on Thursday. So if anyone's listening and they want to meet me at Voodoo Bar this Thursday, happy hour, I'll be there. I will be there. So, folks, this is my list. Don't text me today. I'm going to just direct folks straight to this segment of Hot Grease where I'm talking all about spots and places to eat, drink, and be merry in Bed-Stuy. I'm gonna take you straight here to 411 episode of Hot Grease. Thank you, folks, for listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Join me every Monday right here at 3:30. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Whole Foods Market celebrates Earth Month with the Do Something Real Film Festival, a collection of six provocative, character-driven films focused on food, environmental issues, and everyday people with a greater vision. Come see one of the six features at City Cinemas Village East from Saturday, April 16th through Thursday, April 21st, every night at 6 p.m. Learn more about the films and special events at www.dosomethingreal.com. That's www.dosomethingreal.com. Sponsored by Whole Foods Market. The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great-tasting, high-quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels. It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway honey today.